Okay, AI. This is actually a progression, but this is the buzzword. This is the buzzword people are saying, AI, AI. But it's not all of a sudden. It is something that the world has been moving towards for over 100 years. And I'm going to show in brief slides that progression. We've gotten used to it, seeing it. But right now it's at a threshold of something really dangerous. But we don't want to live in fear. So go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Okay, so I want to remind you of our Earth history. As I understand it, using the Bible as a reference. Now, there are some people who have written books on the chronology of the Bible. I don't think you can get that exact, but you can get pretty close. And so about 4000 BC, I'm using Bishop Usher's date. There was a man a few hundred years ago of 4004 BC, but that may not be exact. From creation week until the time of Abraham and Job is about 2000 years. Here was the flood after about 1600 years of human history. Okay, so about 2,000 years. Then from Abraham until Jesus is about another 2,000 years. And then from Christ till us is about 2,000 years. Why this is in the Bible, or excuse me, why you can calculate this from the Bible, I don't know. But you can, okay? You can also divide human history in half using Israel, okay? So from creation until the time of David and Solomon is about 3,000 years, and so about 1,000 BC. Can you go to the next slide, please? And so from about 1,000 BC till today is about 3,000 years. It was just a very interesting thing. And then, according to our understanding as this church of Bible prophecy, after this time there will be another 1,000 years of the millennium. A day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. There's a verse in the Bible that says that. Sometimes verses have multiple meanings, and this is just a very interesting one. We are right here getting close to what we believe is the rapture and then the tribulation. Okay, go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Oh, my main computer was down, so I wasn't able to print. So I'm going to have to read from the screen along with you. Okay, I apologize. I wasn't able to print my notes out yesterday. So the rapture of the church. Okay, in Acts 1:7, Peter is asking Jesus. They don't know Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. They don't know this is about to happen. Jesus knew, but he says, is now the time when you're going to restore Israel? And Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has set in his own authority. Okay? And then it's actually a few verses later. Oh, excuse me. He says that, and then he says, you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So we don't want to, excuse me, so that's part of what I would say. There's some churches that want to focus on Bible prophecy. We don't want to focus on it, but we want to be aware of it. It's the gospel that we need to be most focused on, okay? But Bible prophecy is very important. And now here we are 2,000 years later, and it looks like the climax of the age is getting very close. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18. This is one of the two main verses that we use for that there will be a rapture of the church. That the church will be translated. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. You can read it here. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So Presbyterians and Methodists get to go to heaven before us. Ooh, hey, what's going on here? Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll ever be with the Lord. Comfort each other with these words, okay? This time on earth, what we call life is, I would contend it's not life. It's a temporary time of learning and testing. We just think it's life because it's all we've seen, okay? But this is a time of learning and testing. It is preparation for life. Every day we have moral and ethical tests. What are we going to do? Are we going to give to other people? Are we going to take? Are we going to be respectful? Are we going to be loving? Okay? And God is choosing from among humanity, choosing his people. Next slide, please. Oh, by the way, this is a small group. If you have a question while I'm talking or something I say that isn't clear, please go ahead and interrupt, okay? You can do it kind of like a Sunday school class. I know I've said that before when I'm spoken, but anyway, so please consider that. Okay, there's so many things in the Bible that almost need to be pointed out to us. Now, this is a very interesting one from Luke. And it at first it doesn't look interesting to us, but I'll just mention it. Okay, there will be two men in bed. One shall be taken, the other left. Excuse me. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. One thing that is very interesting about these verses is that this is the middle of the night. The world is round. The world is round. Middle of the night, early in the morning, middle of the day. But yet it's the same time in God's kingdom. Isn't that interesting? If you've never seen that before, I just find that it's like, wait a minute. The church is around the world. So in South Africa, right now it's late evening. What is it in South Africa right now? It's evening, right? Something like that? 8 hours. 8 hours, not that bad. Okay, so it's 7:20 in the evening. Okay, so, but then in it's probably India and stuff, it's the middle of the night. Anyway, as our world is circling, at some point the rapture will happen. People will be caught completely by surprise. Next slide, please. Okay, now, for the world, we're entering a time of great distress. There's going to get more and more difficult. Luke 21:26. There's three places where Jesus gives what's called the Olivet Discourse, where he talks about the end times, okay? Specifically, and that's Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. So this is the Luke account. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We can only imagine some of this, what's going to happen. But it's going to be terrible. Someone's heart failing them for fear. There are some people who think that is related to UFOs. Could be related to casting spell. Pardon me? Vaccines. Could be related to vaccines. Yeah. Men's hearts failing them for vaccines. No. Okay. And okay. So yeah, there could be many things. Our technology is a two-edged sword. It empowers us, but it also has the power to take control or to hurt us. Okay. But for us, for believers, 2 Timothy 1:7. For not God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Okay. Next slide, please. Over 60 times in the Bible, it says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Where specifically, often it's usually a messenger from heaven. It's either the Lord directly, or it's an angelic being who's come with power. It says, fear not, okay? And we need to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, I really like this passage, very short. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm getting to AI, by the way, but first I want us to have the right attitude. We don't want to be living in fear, okay? Okay. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths, okay? Be not wise in your own eyes. That one's a hard one for me. What did he just say? Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Be not wise in your own eyes. We need to, okay. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We don't want to live in fear, but fearing God and understanding that God is in control, even though on a normal daily basis we don't see Him during this temporary time of learning and testing that we call life. But do you understand that God is going to judge us for what we have done in this life? Okay, next slide, please. Nobody thinks it's that funny? Okay, hey, how'd that slide get in there? What's going on here? I'm sorry, I just thought it was kind of funny. Okay, some people. Bob's going to say, gee, maybe we don't want Paul up there so often. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so now, end of the world predictions. Okay, the rapture. Okay, for 2,000 years, people have been wondering, when is the climax of the age? Last days. It says that term in the New Testament many different times. This is a particular book that came out. It's not that popular of a book anymore. But long ago, it was a popular, for a short time, it was a popular book. Two books in one. Anyway, it had 88 reasons. Next slide, please. People have been predicting and making claims about God coming back for a long time. I say this with embarrassment for the church. Because some of these people, can you imagine going back to God and saying, the Bible guarantees it. The Bible guarantees, oh my goodness, these people are lying through, I mean, whatever their motives are, whatever it is they think they are doing, God is not, he didn't come back, okay? May 21st, 2011. Okay, next slide, please. There have been many predictions for the end of the world, not just Christian, many different cultures. I don't know about all cultures, but remember when the Mayan calendar was coming to an end? It was at 5,000 years, and it had reached that summary. So it's not just Christians who are looking towards the end and trying to figure it out. But this was one, 7 days, 3 hours, 48 minutes, okay, until. Okay, so the end of the time as they knew it. But then here's another one. For 2020 rapture, and okay, it didn't happen. We do not know when it will happen. We know it's out there. It could happen at any time. Doctrine of imminence, is that correct, Bob? But doctrine of imminence, that the rapture could happen at any time. Let me just throw in here. During World War II, when Hitler was in power in Germany, and he hated the Jews, and he was getting all of Europe underneath himself, many students of Bible prophecy at that time in America, other places, were saying, oh my goodness, Hitler is the Antichrist. And they believed that. They honestly believed that. He was a horrible person. Obviously, this is an understatement. But there were a few who said, wait a minute, Israel's not in the land yet. There's no Israel yet. We need Israel to exist. The times of the Gentiles needs to come to an end. And so there were actually very few Bible prophecy writers or speakers at that time who realized Hitler wasn't it. By the way, do you know what his number was in the Nazi party? His membership number? No, it was 555. Isn't that interesting? So it's not that he was a John the Baptist for the Antichrist, but it's just kind of an interesting tidbit. He was, I'll stop talking about Hitler in a minute here. He was officially a Catholic. He was never excommunicated. It's just, what do you got to do? What do you got to do to get excommunicated? I mean, Jesus, become a Protestant is what you got to do. Okay, let's go to, I'm sorry. I know I tell too many jokes. 70 times 7, you got to forgive me. Okay, so now, in the last 100 years or so, well, 200 years, 250, we've seen the Industrial Revolution with steam, later with internal combustion engines and electricity. I highlighted the handle on this old calculator. Have you ever used one of these? That was a long time ago. Okay, yeah, a few of us have. You still have one? Carried around. It's portable. Yeah. Yeah. And then by the 1960s, you had this kind of thing. Punch, 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 punch. And then there was a button you punched and the electricity would do it. Okay. So now, when I came of age, I was actually working in computers in the late 70s. And for the young people in the room here, can you believe there are people back alive? Back then, yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Anyway, okay, punch cards. We had punch cards, okay? And that wasn't the only way. You also had tapes. You also had tapes. And then you had hard disks, these big things. Anyway, this was cutting edge at that time. I remember I was in Portland, Oregon, and we made, there was a program written, and we made a phone call through the computer to a computer in Saudi Arabia, and everybody's standing around what's called the master console. So there's one console that was the master console, as it was called, to control the whole mainframe computer. And everybody's standing around watching this phone call. Is it going to happen? Now, today, that's nothing. You email someone anywhere in the world. But that was the first, for our company, the company I worked for, and the computer made the call, Saudi Arabia, data was transferred, and then the call closed, and it was just... It was amazing. Okay, I know it sounds funny today, but that's how fast we've been rocketing forward in only, 50 years that we've made that difference. And these floors, by the way, you can't really tell it here, and I don't have the floor there. They were raised floors, so the floor was raised up about that much. All the cabling and air conditioning underneath, it was really loud in those rooms. You had to have so much cooling. Anyway, okay, that's the olden days, okay. So let's go forward. Next slide, please. Okay, so you had the Hewlett-Packard and Texas Instrument calculators happening. You have in the 1980s, you had microcomputers. Oh, my goodness. Hey, This one is a really hot item right here. This Osborne computer, this is portable right here. It only weighs 150 pounds. No, it doesn't. But, I mean, you could close the top and it was portable. You could take it anywhere. Isn't that incredible? Okay, you guys, you're a tough crowd. You guys are really tough. Okay, but anyway, the IBM PC with the floppy disk drive. Here's the Apple version with their disk, Apple II. Okay, and then the Macintosh came later. So this is the early 80s. So I was in the 70s, 60s and 70s. Now we're in the 80s. Can everyone hear me okay? Yes, we're fine. Okay, sounds good. Okay, please, can next slide, please. Okay, we want to be logical. We don't want to live in fear. Now, I threw this in because over time there have been people who have completely separated from society. Okay? And actually, at the end of service a week ago, we had a meeting about emergency preparedness. There's many different emergencies. Anyway, there was this man who buried, I think it's 42 buses. Wow! And made an underground kind of city thing. And then these were a doomsday cult, as it was called. That was the name of the image, doomsday cult children and stuff. Say again? There are, and actually there are companies, what Kathy said for the recording, Kathy said some people are still doing it, and I agree. And there are people who are burying underground things under their houses or in their yard or on their farm or ranch or whatever. And some of these can be as valuable as their house above ground. It's kind of amazing how intricate some of these can be. Yes? That'd be perfect. I like that idea. Because you're like 200 feet underground, right? Something like that? You're pretty far down, right? What's that? Depends on what kind of rocket it was. The control room and stuff like that. So, yeah, I've heard of that. The people buy. Oh, good plan. Get one that's not being targeted to be destroyed. Okay, good point, Bob. Good point, Bob. I'll put that down in my submission there. So anyway, I can't imagine how much this would cost to build something like this. But so some people are, as they see the future unfolding, and it seems like in some ways we have less and less control over our lives, that they're trying to figure out a way to be safe. We can understand that. So that was why I started out with, we need to trust in the Lord. Now, we need to be logical. We need to try to make good decisions. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for protection from deceptions. When you hear me pray, I am often praying for wisdom. The Bible invites us to pray for wisdom. If James 1:5, I think it is, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men. Ask for it. Why not pray for wisdom? Pray for protection from deceptions. I do, because I see there's so many deceptions around us. Next slide, please. Okay, I've been recently watching all these old movies. I love old movies. And this was a silent film, 1927, called Metropolis. It was a German film, and it's been restored recently. Now, it is humorous to us to look at their way of looking at this giant machine and then these people who are feeding the machine, who are working for it and stuff. So we look at it, but according to the technology of the time of steam and pistons and rods and things like this, this could be it was a very frightening movie. And he had invented a robot. And anyway, it's an interesting movie. It is related to, you know, books have come out. Brave New World. That was roughly 100 years ago. I don't remember exactly when. 1984 came out in 1948. I know that because George Orwell, he inverted the numbers to make 1984. But these were like predictions of the future that scared people. It became bestsellers. Brave New World was biochemical. You had the alphas, the betas, and the gammas. And depending on when you were a baby and how you were conceived, then what you were fed, you became either an alpha, a beta, or a gamma, and a servant, or one of the leaders and things. In Metropolis, you also have a situation where you have these few people who have everything, and they're living a life of leisure, but the average people are underground, deep underground, and feeding this machine. And there's images, there's Bible-related images in this movie. Anyway, it's a classic, one of the classic films. Do you want to see her? Do you want to see the robot that he has invented here? So, and of course, in this image there, you see that she's standing behind. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, by the time of the 80s and 90s, we had computer games. A few people in this room might recognize some of these. Pong, okay, and then Mario Brothers, okay. I can't do the music. Some people can, I'll bet. And then Pac-Man, and then they had a huge innovation after they put out Pac-Man, and that was Ms. Pac-Man. I don't know if you ever saw that. Oh, it was incredible. It was Pac-Man, but with a little bow in the hair. Oh, my goodness. And then Frogger to try to get across the street safely. It was actually so. And these were all real popular games. The graphics were not real good, but it was getting better. It was getting better and better. I want to briefly mention Pong because I read a book about Atari. This is over 20 years ago when I read about it. So it was around 1973 about. They had a high school student who was working for Atari, a high school student who was helping them on the side. His name was Steve Jobs. Have you ever heard that name? Okay, he was a high school student. Nolan Bushnell, I don't want to get into too much detail, but he was the head of Atari. They made the first Pong machine, and it had two paddles. Doot, 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 going back and forth. They had put one in a bar in San Jose or Cupertino in that area. And then he flew to Chicago, and they wanted to sell the idea to Bailey Midland, which was making the pinball machines, you know, the pinball with all the lights. And they weren't interested in buying it because this is not exciting. Look at the pinball machines, and this is in black and white. They couldn't see what this is going to, what is going to happen with this. And then when he gets back to it, so he flies to Chicago. Bailey Midland is not interested. And his friend has left him a message saying the machine broke. They want us to come take it out. So he flies back to California. Then the next day they go, they look at the machine, what broke, what went wrong. They put a quarter in, nothing happens. And then they open up the machine, and they had put a milk jug in there to hold like a week's worth of quarters. And the milk jug was completely full in one night. Milk jug was completely full, and the quarters were coming out towards the beginning. And that's when they realized, gee, we may have something here. They put a week's worth of what should have been quarters material was now all in one night. People were playing Pong until the things could not accept any more quarters. And so anyway, that was the beginnings of Atari. So anyway, okay, but so some of these were just huge hits at the time. I know that today these look very simple, but this was the technology. Okay, next slide, please. Now today, I know I've said this maybe too many times. I used to live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I actually went to what was called a BattleBots show one time. You can see all the people back there. And they actually have these robots that are built for combat, and they fight each other, and they have certain rules, and then you have two human operators in the background. You probably can't see it in any of these photos, but they got remotes and stuff, and they're controlling the robots, and they have different strategies. You can see fire. You can see a big bus saw here to try to get, have some that try to flip the other one over. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of different strategies they have. I consider that kind of a frightening thing that they're making these, but they're getting more and more sophisticated. This is a company in Boston called Boston Dynamics. You maybe, if you've seen any of these videos, they have several different models that do different things. Some that look kind of like a dog, like you see there, the yellow one, and then this white one. And some of them can lift a couple hundred pounds. They're very strong. As they've tested in recent years, sometimes it falls down and goes boom, right? Okay, and so here's a guy who the robot fell down. Sometimes they're very heavy. You can't upright this thing easily once it goes down. But these are getting more and more sophisticated. I put in the middle a refrigerator remote control that's on the internet. If someone can explain to me, why would someone want to put their refrigerator on the internet? To me, here's how I find out if what's in my fridge. I'm going to show you. Okay, using sign language. That's how I find out what's in my fridge. I don't need the internet to figure out what's in the fridge and what's happening. Okay, sorry here. Am I against technology here? All wondering why I'm doing this. Okay, so, okay, next slide, please. Robots in our homes. Okay, it is becoming around the world, not just in America. In Asia, in Europe, people are accepting these different kinds of robots into their houses. And there's all different brands, all different. Also, listening devices, Google Home, Amazon, Alexa thing. I think for the Google, you say, hey, Siri. Is that what you say for the Google one?
Hey, Google.
Hey, Google. Is that what you say? Is that it? Hey, Google. I had a friend who had one in his house, and he was telling someone on the phone about his Hey Google device. He says, what do I do is say Hey Google? And it was in the next room over, and him saying that on the phone to a friend, it said, I didn't get that. And so it's listening to every single word. He has some young children, and when I've been at his house and I hear the children cry, I just cringe. Because child destructive services could be sent to their home and saying, we hear you reading Bible stories to your children, and we hear them cry. They can make up some number, 50% more than other children. So obviously there's abuse involved. We're going to have to take them to a, I don't know. I find it odd that we would want to purposely do this. But anyway, then, okay, so not only do we have computerized cars, but we have invented machines to wash the machines. Isn't that interesting? A machine to wash the machine. I know it's common, but it's kind of funny. It's just we've gotten used to this. So it's been getting more and more. And then it figures out if you have a hatchback or if it's a sedan or if it's a minivan. It's deciding this and trying to wash the whole vehicle and stuff. But anyway, this is becoming ubiquitous. It's becoming ubiquitous everywhere. None of my jokes? Nobody likes my jokes? Okay. Next slide, please. Okay. Now we're up to AI. So these are AI-generated images. I went to a site in Germany. This was a couple weeks ago. And I had it make a picture for me, which evidently is a unique picture of someone drinking coffee. And it gave me the picture. I didn't put it in this presentation. But this, of course, is Bill Gates. In a slum. So the idea was some of the richest people in the world, as if they're slum lords, okay, are in the slum. Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jeff Bezos. And so it's like their face, but then a person who's down on their luck, okay? Anyone, anywhere, this is generated. So one of the first, as AI, okay, so I'm coming into the where we're at now. And we're able to invent, they are inventing realities. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is a stormtrooper vacuuming on the beach. I mean, you can tell the computer, whether it's in the U.S. or Europe or wherever the AI computer is, I want an image that does this. And it will do it. And even though it's nonsensical to us, I mean, I don't think you want, okay, there's still sand here, I'm still vacuuming, okay, an hour later or whatever. But it's just interesting what is capable. There are some artists who are not going to be able to continue being professional artists because maybe they charge $1,000, $3,000 or whatever it is to create a company logo. Well, you can go online to one of these AI places. ChatGPT is one of the most popular ones. Actually, I'll mention that. But a few months ago, Microsoft launched OpenAI ChatGPT. I went to the site. You have to sign up. I don't like signing up if I don't have to. But I know people who have told me some of the answers from ChatGPT. And it is... some of it's pretty good. It's pretty amazing what the answers that you can get back from this ChatGPT. And so you've got story writers. Someone could write a story. You could have a student. It would write an essay. I want an essay on Napoleon Bonaparte losing in Russia. And it'll make it. It will make 2,000 words, whatever it is, right? And so what the average person doesn't realize, now this has been sneaking up on us. I also had images of of tic-tac-toe and chess, computers for tic-tac-toe. I think it, when was it when computers became good enough that they were beating people at chess, and then finally at a certain point they were beating even the grandmaster. So that was maybe 20 years ago. You think it was that early? Well, they were playing chess. Oh, you had chess computers. But I mean better than the best humans. So that was a lot more recently, but I don't remember when it was. But it's these are getting more and more sophisticated. You've got translation programs, and I use those sometimes. They used to not be very good, but you could translate from English to Japanese. You could translate from Chinese to Afrikaans. From Afrikaans to Zulu, from Zulu to Hungarian. I mean, it's just these tools are getting better and better at understanding our languages and things. Okay, next slide, please. And there are some AI-generated images that are winning awards. Now, this is we're coming up to like the last year or two, okay? This is a photo, but it's not actually a photo. It is not a photo. The computer completely generated the two women are here. The woman in back has her hands on her shoulder. They're focused on something. This is detailed facial expression. I'm sorry, it's in a frame and stuff, so that's why you have these lines. That's evidently a vinyl coating or something. So that anyway, that's just the way it is, but they're looking at the details of it. But this was entirely generated by AI. There have been people who have started companies in the last few months. People who have started companies to sell stuff, and the AI is directing what they are doing and what they're going to get. Next one. This next one is very interesting. This actually won an award in Colorado. It was AI generated. Isn't that sophisticated? Now, what I kind of looked at this, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going on, but it looks almost like a giant window out into the world, so something like that. But it's just the use of light. And I think it's just a very interesting image, that, and it's won awards. Yes, sir?
I don't know if you're going to get to this, but there's also a movie producer, Wes Anderson, and he's known for his own style and aesthetic in the movies that he does. He has a movie called Fantastic Mr. Fox.
When did that come out? Oh, okay. Anyway, okay. Oh, and when did it come out? About? Oh, okay. So 13, 14 years ago. Like, okay.
AI can take like his aesthetic, and there's a trailer. You can Google Wes Anderson's Star Wars trailer, and they took his aesthetic, because it's not just an aesthetic, but it's a whole style of writing and
sure.
All of it. And there's a Star Wars trailer done as a Wes Anderson.
Oh. Thank you, Jane Son. Thank you. Okay. Yes, I've heard of that, and also music. So they'll play an entire library, say the Monkees or the Beatles or whoever. That'd be pretty good. We praise thee, O giant robot in the sky. Oh, wait a minute. What's going on here? Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. Okay. So, okay, thank you. Yeah, there are many applications, and this is changing by the month. So the question is, okay, I kind of showed you the progression over decades, right? From the hand calculator thing. And within a couple decades. So we are going to see AI. Okay, within the last few months, there's someone who has recently designed chips to be more efficient for AI learning. Okay? That's very frightening. I consider that very frightening, because up until now, the chips haven't been designed for AI learning. Now they're going to design it to be more efficient for it. It used to cost, last year, it cost like a couple million or a few million dollars to program a whole AI system. Stanford University had a breakthrough recently where now they can do it for like $50,000. $50,000 is affordable by a lot of companies, a lot of entities got $50,000. They could, you know, used to try to defeat the competition in whatever it is. But they're putting all kinds of things into this. So I mentioned artists. This gentleman mentioned movies and then songs. And you've got so many different areas. Next slide, please. Okay, this is a woman. This is a CBS special. I watched lots of different documentaries trying to prepare for this. This woman is married to her AI lover. She has a wedding album online. Okay? She has a wedding album. And here is how she pictures her AI husband. And then this is her image of them together. And then they chat. And unlike real men, who are a real disappointment, by the way, guys, he's always available for her. Okay? You might want to take some notes on this, guys. I don't think they have any kids yet. Anyway, okay, so, but he's always available for her. And so it's just a very interesting, whereas you and I think many people would be, this is just kind of, but there are people out there who are embracing this technology, taking it in. They see nothing wrong. I wanted to do a slide with some of the recent games of Call of Duty and some of these computer games. The graphics are so realistic. It's really incredible. And you just have to wonder what it's going to be like 5 years from now, what will be out there. Anyway, so here's this is a woman in Oregon, and they're talking about here they are. And anyway, it's just she spends hours a day with her husband on the AI. Yes?
So is this recognized federally?
No. I don't think so.
No.
Not yet. When they get the cryptocurrency, maybe. When they get rid of the dollar and we're all... Yes, Kathy?
The problem with all this is that the laws haven't caught up with that.
Laws in what respect?
For to take something from somebody else and make it into something else. There are copyrights, trademarks.
Okay, that's a good point. Thank you, Kathy. Kathy said laws have not caught up with this on trademark, copyright, things like that.
It's even the use of AI.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, okay, very good. I wasn't going to get into this, but Kathy is right. So you've got the one in Germany that I went to, L-A-I-O-N was the name of the computer. They have fed billions of images into it, like the entire Getty Images library and other libraries. Billions. And now it can make its own pictures. Let's say two men playing soccer, right? One's blocking the other. And so it can take that picture. It understands human movements, what the limits are and stuff like that, and then make a new one, change their jerseys, change the ball, change their shoes, and change, but the same feeling, but it's not the Getty image anymore. It's now this new AI image. And so, yeah, the laws are not there yet, and it's being decided now. Getty has sued, actually. That's one of the big lawsuits they're trying to figure this out. One of the specials I watched that I thought was really good, there's a channel on YouTube called Cold Fusion. Cold Fusion, it's a good name. It's the gentleman, he's got a two-part thing on AI that I watched about a month ago. And he actually gave the example of the beginning of photography. Now imagine in the 1850s, 60s, 70s, you're a portrait artist, and this newfangled technology called photography comes along. This is a threat to your life, your well-being, your income, right? Because rather than taking days or longer to paint a portrait, someone can sit in front of the camera, say cheese, cheese, hold still. The early cameras, you had to hold still for several seconds, by the way. It's kind of interesting. I consider it kind of just like you had to keep it. What's that? Yeah, you had to have some kind of a whatever it's going to be. You don't want to move. But the early photography, they had to figure out that. Now, another example is, say, when Photoshop came out. Okay? So you're talking about 1990s and coming on into the modern times, and they could take an image and then Photoshop it, right? And then could you copyright that? So we've had this problem before, but it's always been humans who have been the creators right? Now we're talking about these machines that are getting so smart. And I mentioned the chips that are being designed. Let's go to the next slide here. Actually, I'm tired of this thing here. But actually, this is maybe even worse. Okay. Now we're you could take a computer, whereas we're kind of limited by cranial capacity, but you could have a computer that you could put 4 or 5 or 20 together, and who knows? We just don't know. This is why the alarms are being raised, because we don't know what this leads to. You've got several technologies. I showed some robots, Metropolis, and then the modern, that dog type robot and stuff, and then you got drones. I didn't show you any pictures of drones, but you all know drones. What is our future here on this planet? Men's hearts failing them for fear. Imagine if there are some AI that's supposed to be able to detect that you're lying, okay? Supposed to be able to detect it. They're getting that way. So you're brought in. So you get in your car to go to the restaurant. It locks the doors and says, "Oh, don't worry. We just have to take you down to the police station for some questioning." What? No, I want to go to dinner. You can go after the questioning by the authorities. And then they can tell whether you're lying. They can look at your body language. They can look at your. Am I talking too long? We're okay here. Yeah. Okay. You're just tired of listening to me? Okay, I don't blame you. Okay, anyway, does anyone have any questions at this point? Cause, yes, Jane. Yeah. Yes, I've heard. Bob, did you want to say something? You're going to tell the truth, aren't you, Bob? I'm sorry.
Early computers, everything was programmed by man, right? So we're reaching a threshold where the machines are taking it over.
Yes.
And the reason we didn't have that part of it, there was where you got the deep fake video, which is beyond the images.
Yeah.
But there was a years ago movie.
Yes, yes.
So the story was that the computers could tell if you were going to commit a crime.
Yeah.
Future crime.
Yeah. Yes.
So you'd be arrested before you can do that.
That'll teach them.
And you were automatically convicted because it said you were going to do it.
Right, right. Oh, yes, yes, yeah. That is a very good movie. I've seen it. It was years ago. But we are entering a time that is, we need to trust in the Lord even more, and we need to try to be God's ambassadors in this world, showing love, because our world is going to become less and less loving, more and more twisted. And, of course, we're seeing that twisting in society and in several many different areas. Anyway, in this slot, any other comments or questions that people had? Yes, ma'am. Steve.
Steve, that 4 years ago, my sister had to go to Indianapolis, and she stopped in at McDonald's, and she had got a cup of coffee, and she drank half of it. This robot told her, your coffee's still warm, because she was going to get some more coffee, and he told her how full it was, and it was half full.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is your third cup. We're cutting you off. Well, who knows? I don't know.
It was just really strange that, you know, it was already here.
Yes. That's why I started out. I said this is kind of a buzzword, but this has been coming. But right now it's kind of at this point where there are people who are claiming in some areas of life it's getting as smart as we are. And so there's just some real threats there. What if these AI, which is happening now, what if it's being turned loose in the financial markets? You can't make a decision to buy or sell a stock in 14 nanoseconds, but the computer can. It's just, it's like unbelievable what what could be possible for some of these things. So, okay, facial recognition. There's an article on the front page of the Courier Press this morning talking about AI being used for facial recognition, right? Dave showed me the headline and stuff. And so this has been around for years. I mean, probably about 15 years or so where they've been trying to get the facial recognition better and better. And so it looks for certain points on the face and then determines who that person is, if it can, if it has enough light, and if you're not wearing sunglasses or several things, or you're not wearing makeup that makes it harder. So this technology could be used against us or to control these humans, these pesky humans. This is an ankle bracelet. They're getting smaller and smaller, more and more sophisticated, and the battery's lasting longer. Okay? And IBM, this was in the news very recently, that IBM has been having AI listen in on tech support calls for months now. Okay? And then the human will listen to the problem, give responses of what you should do, and then you hear the response of the customer, and then everything like that. Well, it's been learning. They've been letting it, which is weird. They've been letting it learn what are the best answers to give. Oh, my computer won't work. Okay, is it plugged in? Okay, have you tried turning it on? Okay, I'm sorry. I used to work in tech support. Okay, and I didn't know I got unplugged somehow. Anyway, okay, now they're replacing thousands of jobs with these AI, and the AI doesn't lose patience. And when the customer is really antagonistic, it doesn't. You know, gee, I wish I had a different job. Oh my goodness, why does this person want to be this way? It just keeps answering, and then at a certain point, it either cuts off or transfers or something. And then the fourth image I have here is gates for entry and exit and controlling. These kind of gates are becoming common. They are out there, okay? Some more sophisticated than others, subways to go into or something like that. At Toyota, it's not this brand, but they have these kind of gates for going in or out, whether you're going in on the east side or the west side. And if your card is not current or you're not allowed in. But, I mean, there's lots of companies that are using in different institutions that are using this. So, yes. Well, it's kind of worldwide. It's several technologies coming together. I showed you the robots from Boston. Some of this is produced in the U.S. Some is produced in Asia. And then you've got design being done, and then manufacturing might actually be done in China or something like that. And then you've got so many different cameras. They've got thousands of cameras in China, in London, England. National Review magazine, this is over 8 or 10 years ago, there was a London police sergeant who thought that his wife was cheating on him. And so he's using the city's cameras to keep track of everywhere his wife is going. Now, this is not his job. This is not what he's supposed to be doing. But the technology was available. And he's watching everywhere she goes to see. And so that level of technology is just getting, it's just getting very powerful. And so, again, it's not all, right now it's in the news, AI, but this has kind of been coming for years, and right now it's at this threshold. They're designing chips. A month ago, Jordan Peterson, who's a conservative psychologist from Canada, if you've seen any of his videos, he actually has been challenged. They want to feed everything that he has said and written, his public speeches and his books. They want to feed it into AI and make a virtual Jordan Peterson, and then they want him to interview himself, okay, and see the answers. This is going to happen, I think, it was June now. Oh, okay, so it's happening sometime this month. Whether it will make the news or not, I don't know. But I think that was in April when that was happening. Yes, yes.
Well, since like the old British TV and some of it now, you know, you're looking at a crime thing, you know, a crime show. And all of a sudden it goes, oh, what is CCTV? Check that out and see if you can see who's coming in and out. But that's outside the building. And those that can afford it have things like that inside the house. But you're saying, like, our phones. our computers, everything, can now get the information inside your home, too.
Yeah. I was at a political meeting a couple months ago that I usually go to at the end of the month. Second Amendment Patriots is the name of it. It was the beginning of the meeting, and I was trying to turn my phone off. And I was up, standing up front, talking to Senator Jim Toms. And my phone would not turn off. My phone would not turn off. I was just trying to turn it off so it wouldn't ring during the meeting. And my phone, he was with me, and he was saying, usually this, and we're both trying to get my phone to turn off. And it took like four times before we actually got it just to turn off. Then I took it out to my car and then left it inside my car just so I have it for emergencies. But then in the meeting since then, I turn it off before the meeting and leave it in my car. But how actively are we being spied upon? How actively? I told you about my friend who has small children, and they have one of these Google devices in their home. And when I hear a child cry, I just cringe. To me, it's like, I mean, this could be used again. They could invent anything. They could take the crying and then multiply it times five, and then they come knocking at the door. Yeah, your children here. Oh, and you've been reading Bible stories to them, so we've got to help your children to not be raised in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. And so, but yeah, the technology is becoming ubiquitous everywhere. Okay, that joke I used a little while ago. So we're just... we're seeing it happen. There are what are called de-Googled phones that can be sold. And so it's an Android phone, but they've taken the Google stuff out. Okay, you can look it up online. It exists. For the iPhone, they can't really do that, but the iPhones are much safer technologically than the Android. They're still spying on us. They're still keeping track of everywhere we go. And then things we say, try and experiment. If you've never experienced this, try and experiment sometime. I want you to talk about some high-ticket item to your friend. You're not talking on the phone, but maybe you and your friend have your phones on the table or something, and it could be any high-ticket item. It could be perfume. It could be cigars. It could be shoes. It could be any consumer item where there's a lot of money involved. And just talk for about 10 minutes. And then notice if later that day you're getting ads for those things. Have you've seen that? Who else has seen that? Where I've seen it several times. Okay, probably half the room. We have seen that where you've been talking about something and then hours later or whatever, you're getting ads for this. So how actively...
You discuss
like handguns or something, you get ads for those later? I don't know if you get ads for handguns or not. Yeah, that's a good question, Bob. Yeah, I was looking at Uzis the other day. Yeah, okay, bad idea. I shouldn't put this on the recording. We shouldn't. What's that? You could probably, yeah, something, but it's, anyway, okay. Okay, so this is happening. Next slide, please.
We're going to have to go. She's got to be at work.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We'll send an AI robot after you, okay, to tell you the rest, okay? Okay, sounds good. Okay. So I want to end with another thing related to the rapture and our hope, that our hope is in the Lord. One of the terms that's used commonly in Revelation is the earth dwellers. The earth dwellers. That's a common thing. We, if you are born again, if you have come to know Christ as your Savior, if you're born again, our home is in heaven above. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. I won't read this whole thing. We will be changed. Okay? Putting on immortality. Okay? So this is the thing. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So we are going. Our home is going to be in heaven, and separate from this. In the meantime, our earth is going into darker and darker times. I love history. So does Kathy. I love history. And in Germany in 1932, they elected a man named Adolf Hitler. They voted for him on purpose. A year later, they had a referendum because Hitler was trying to consolidate his power in 1933. So that's only a year later. Within 2 years, about by 1935, it was too late for Germany. And then you had, as they're building their industrial base, building their weapons, you had millions, tens of millions of deaths all over Europe because of that. things can change quickly in a country. In America today, we've been blessed so much with freedoms, but our world could change very radically over the next few years. So we need to be in prayer. I mentioned that at the end of the service last week, we had a discussion time about emergency preparedness, like a three-day supply. And we just saw in COVID for 2 years where they had things running out of toilet paper. Isn't that just crazy, some of the shortages they had? You should be ahead. I shouldn't talk about these things. You should be ahead on some foods, have a flashlight, have some candles. You should have toilet paper, yeah. And just have things so you're not living hand to mouth. This is very, very important. So, okay, any question? Oh, I'm sorry, what, Steve, or are you, is that just private? Okay. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes, Kathy. Okay, that's a very good thing, because in the 2000 election, they were baiting both sides. They were baiting both sides. Oh, the other side did this. The other side did that. The other side did this. They were doing it. Facebook and Twitter and others were doing it on purpose, because then, oh, it gets people upset, gets them riled up. Mm-hmm. Now they're watching more videos or reading more messages or sharing more things. And so that idea of gaming us, of treating us like we're to be led around, to be manipulated, is a very strong temptation. They love money. They don't. What's the first two commandments? Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. They don't love us. They love money. They love money and power. And so we are to be. Yes, Jane. Yes. Right. Yeah. This is, there's so many scams going on, so many things that are quote-unquote legitimate companies, and it's happening around the world. There are Russian hackers, Chinese, American, Indian, and we are the prey. We are the ones they're preying upon. And you're right. Yeah, we are the ones who are then the product. They're trying to figure out what would you want to buy, and then tailor ads to you and try to manipulate. Yeah, and polarizing us. Yeah. Right. United we stand, divided we fall. And America is so divided right now, so badly divided. Any other? Oh, yes, Todd. No, what's the Apple Vision about? Oh.
Virtual reality, except it is controlled by your eyesight.
Yes.
Like a computer, but you can also see through it, so you're seeing reality.
Yeah, I see a thing on that, yeah.
Did you really look into what it does?
So it will mix reality and the virtual world and then tell you things.
Yeah, you can control it and you can live. I mean, again, it's not officially released, but with Apple, it's not really law. I mean, it's going to be...
Yeah.
What really makes it weird is I thought about it with this lady who married her AI boyfriend.
Yeah.
You can overlay, from my understanding of, you can overlay whatever you want into your real world that you're seeing. And man, people who are already delusional are going to get so wrapped up. And the people who aren't delusional will start falling into their own, in my opinion, their own fantasy world. And actually maybe think of the movie Wall-E, when they were all... Everybody, they're next to each other, but they're all talking their own little. Nobody will interact with anybody. Everything will be whatever they want it to be.
Yeah.
And then everything else could also be fed through this. You know, what you're seeing can be forced on you.
Yes. Yes.
It's a very interesting like I said, it's not officially released yet, but they made the big announcement.
No, I did read about that, but they're cumbersome. They're big enough that you can tell someone is wearing something like this.
So that really doesn't matter. Everybody will wear it because it's comfortable. And,
yeah.
And that's the whole point of Apple.
Giving you the advantage, yeah.
You know, it's just like wearing a ski goggle. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Sound good. It'll sound like a Christian should get involved with it. But we have to really pray.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Yeah, Nina, I agree. I agree completely. Yeah. Yeah, and so we need to stay focused on the Lord. We're in this world. We're not to be of this world. These things are reaching this point in time that it's just... And again, I'm mentioning there's kind of a buzzword that's happening, AI, AI, AI. Well, it is kind of at that point. There's some people saying we're at a singularity. Okay, and that's one of the buzzwords that's going around. And so what will our world be like, I'm sorry to say this, 6 months from now? The title of this was AI Building the Perfect Beast. Because in Revelation, and I didn't go that far into it, but I mean, who is like under the beast? Well, what is the beast? We're not told. What is the beast? What if they're able to isolate human brain cells, an organic kind of brain, and then make a kind of in a petri dish, a really big petri dish, make a human-like brain that is the equivalent of 20 or more humans? I don't know. I'm speculating here, but Bob, did you want to say something? Okay, Elon Musk. Yeah, he's doing that. And they've been experimenting with animals for years now. The Chinese, I should have gotten a picture of this. Have you seen that dog they invented in China? It has really muscular, it doesn't live very long, at least not yet. But it's really muscular, and it's a very powerful dog. It was a few years ago. And it's like, why are they trying to make creatures like this? What if you're being chased by something like this? I mean, maybe it only lives for 2 or 3 years, but that's... Anyway, it's just... Some of the things they're trying to come up with are just... Anyway, our trust needs to be in the Lord.